Questions and Answers on the Bible. Chapter 86. The Spirit That Witnesses. One of my Present Truth customers pointed out to me that verse 7, in 1 John, chapter 5, does not appear at all in the Revised Version. He wants to know if you can account for this, and if the omission of this verse makes any difference in the reading of the Scriptures. For your guidance, my friend's theory is this, that in the first place the verse was put in by a monk, who was translating the Scriptures, and that, not being found in the Greek, it was left out of our English Revised Version. Whether this is right or not, I cannot say. He also says that with the verse in, the Scriptures do not harmonize, for the Holy Ghost is on earth, and so cannot be bearing witness in heaven. In order that all may see at a glance what is involved, we will print the text as it is in both versions. Beginning with the last part of verse 6, we have, it is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. In the revision it is thus, it is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three who bear witness, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. Knowing that the words, record, and witness, that appear in the text in our common version, are from the same Greek word, we see that what is left out in the revision is the portion beginning with, in heaven, and ending with, in earth. This portion is not found in the oldest Greek manuscripts, and there is probably no room for doubt that it was added by somebody other than the Apostle John. But who did it, or when it was done, nobody can tell. Therefore, we do well to quote it as it is in the Revised Version. What difference does it make? Practically none, so far as the general truths of Scripture are concerned. But we want to be accurate, and not add to the word, or presume to find a truth stated where it is not. In reality, the text as it is in the so-called Authorized Version does not say anything that is not stated elsewhere in different words. But the words in question have given rise to an endless amount of controversy, and the text is much more simple and easily understood as it stands in the revision. And since the controverted words are not in the original text, of course they ought to be omitted. The Apostle John had a definite thing in mind when he wrote the passage in question, and the insertion of the words into the text cannot fail to obscure the sense. Bear in mind that they are not omitted because they are difficult to understand, or are controverted, for there are many other texts that are hard to be understood, and which men dispute about, but they are omitted because they have no right in the text. Now a word about your friend's statement that the Holy Ghost is on earth, and so cannot be bearing witness in heaven. It seems impossible that such a statement could ever have been made by a believer in God, and all that is necessary, in order to show the fallacy of it, is to quote a few texts of Scripture. Thus says the High and Lofty One that inhabits eternity, whose name is Holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. Am I a God at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places, that I shall not see him? Says the Lord. Do not I fill heaven and earth? Says the Lord. Whither shall I go from your spirit? Or whither shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend up into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, the interior of the earth, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning, and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall your hand lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. You ask what we teach about the Trinity. Inasmuch as we find no such expression in the Scriptures, we do not teach anything about it. But as to the being of God, the Godhead, divinity as revealed in the Father, the Word, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we believe and teach just what the Bible says, and nothing else. No man can by searching find out God. No creature can understand the Almighty to perfection. The finite mind cannot comprehend infinity. Therefore, in discussions about the Trinity, about the nature of God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit, are manifestations of gross presumption. The Jews were reminded that they had no pattern by which to make an image of God, if they were so inclined, because the Lord spoke unto you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only you heard a voice. Take therefore good heed unto yourselves, for you saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spoke unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest you corrupt yourselves, and make a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female. God is in heaven, but he is also on the earth, for he fills all things. He is a person indeed, but not confined to one certain place. His personality is everywhere. That is what the scriptures tell us. If men had really believed in the personality of God and his spirit, as set forth in the Bible, they could never have presumed to make any image of him. We cannot understand how God can be from everlasting to everlasting, but we accept the statement and let it instruct our reason and enlarge our mind. The Spirit witnesses both in heaven and in earth in the very substance of the heavens and the earth, and in men and angels. He witnesses in the rain, the sunshine, and all the operations of nature. How the Spirit can witness in both places at once is a mystery, but it is no more incomprehensible than how he can witness in us at all. Every man who receives the Spirit, and who yields to his working in him, must be a marvel to himself. I know not how the Spirit works, convicting men of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating peace within. But know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And that is sufficient. So do not ever attempt to teach any theory of the Godhead, or to tell what the Holy Spirit is. He is the Spirit, and that is sufficient. God has not set forth the theory of his existence, and we should not make any. We know that God is, and we may know by experience the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, and that is sufficient. We know his protecting presence always and everywhere, but as to how it is, we must always say, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, it is high, I cannot attain unto it."